This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz on your radio at 94.1, always on the free Odyssey app and streaming live on YouTube if you'd like to watch. Joining us now, Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast, which you can check out on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Baldy, thank you for joining us.
It's good to be with you guys.
Well, Baldy.
So, post-football season, we always know you're a traveler. Been anywhere good since football season ended? Any cool vacations or sights or sounds in Baldy's world?
Yeah, of course. I mean, been to Costa Rica and throughout the Caribbean and into the Bahamas and, you know, wherever the sun is shining and the water's warm, I've been there for the most part. I've been bouncing pretty good.
You live a good life, man. I love it.
Well, listen, I mean, look.
You deserve it.
Anybody can break down cover two, but, you know, you can't do it all day long.
Absolutely.
You have to take a break from it. Yeah.
Yep. Well, it does take that balance. I've always been bad at that. And okay. I get burnt out. And, like, you go hard when you're going hard, and then you enjoy yourself when you're enjoying yourself.
I try to balance it up a little bit.
So before we get to the draft itself, Eagles offseason has been, I think we all expected some players to leave. I don't think we expected the number of players to leave that left and then the sort of no immediate replacements. I was curious what your reaction to the offseason so far has been for the Eagles.
I mean, did they really lose great players? I mean, you could say Darius Slay is on the downside of his career, hasn't been signed. You know, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson has been on a one-year contract for the last 5 years for four different teams. I mean, there's a reason why, you know, he gets bounced. I thought, you know, Josh Sweat was a good player, really good player. But honestly, when he got drafted, you probably remember this, Ike. Mm-hmm. When he was drafted out of Florida State, nobody thought he'd play 6 years.
Nope.
They thought that knee was so bad it was a ticking time bomb.
Yep.
And they had to manage him, but, you know, Josh was a great player. And he really gave it everything he's got. I don't know how much more his knee can hold up, you know, just based on, you know, the medicals when he came out. And Milton Williams came on, was a good player, but, you know, they've been stocking that position pretty good. You know, Mekhi Becton played way beyond anybody what he thought he could do. And I didn't think they would be able to keep him. So, you know, Tyler Steen and Kenyon Green and, you know, they've got bodies there. They might try to upgrade it here in the draft, but I don't think it was a horrible offseason of losing that many guys, to be honest with you. Two starting defensive linemen, but guys waiting in the wings to kind of take their place and develop.
I guess when we look at it, Baldy, and I guess when we've about five players they lost on the defense, you feel like there's enough still there in the cupboard, along with draft picks, obviously, whoever they take in the draft. And I think it'll be on that side of the football. You feel confident in what's left in the cupboard, but probably more so, who's calling the plays, the architect of the defense, and Vic Fangio?
That's a big part. It's a big part of it, Ike. But, you know, they're going to get N'Kobe Dean back. I mean, Zach Bond could have easily been the defensive player of the year.
Yep.
All of his stats say that he should have been the defensive player of the year. And then what he did in the postseason. I mean, the guy was – and then, you know, they did something that they have not done since maybe Trott was there. And they went out and extended him and gave him a contract and – you know, he's going to be an Eagle for quite a while now, and they gave him big money, and rightfully so. So, I mean, I think that's still a position of need. I don't think there's a lot of depth there. Mm-hmm. I think safety is still a position of need. I don't think there's a lot of depth there. So, you know, and I think this is the best draft I can remember the last 15 years for defensive linemen. So, I mean, you're going to get a chance. If you don't do anything, just stay at 32 and take a defensive lineman, you're going to get a good player.
So, Baldy, speaking of the draft, you know, when you're thinking about a player and a team, who they're gonna decide to select, how much of that is the tape? How much of that is the combine? How much of that is the other stuff, the interviews, the personal stuff? How do you weigh it?
Well, you have to weigh all of it. Now, I'll give you a quick story. I talked to a guy that played with the Eagles. It's not necessary to say his name, but he interviewed a lot of players at the combine at a particular position. And he was dumbfounded at how little some of the players knew about even drawing up a play or what their assignments were. And so you get some of these guys that just aren't that smart, can't think on their feet. Like, they don't sound like Philadelphia Eagles to me. Like, you know, I mean, but they might test really well. They might have played really well at the Senior Bowl. Just being at the Senior Bowl this year, I haven't been there in a while, but just being down there in the pits and watching these drills, I mean, there are so many NFL-ready, NFL bodies. They just look like NFL players, and they're 20 or 21 years old. I can't, you know, you got to, they've been developing players now. I mean, Nolan Smith really developed from a guy, people said he was undersized, he ran a fast 40 time, but he really developed. And so I think, you know, the coaching has been really good, and young players have come on. So I think you got to factor in, are they coachable? Are they smart? What's their talent level? How do they test? I think it's a little bit of all that stuff.
Yeah, I think coming out of here, Baldy, they got to feel good about their formula for selecting players, right? We were talking to Mike Mayock last week, and we were just talking about the process of putting together your draft board and the criteria you may use and what's important to you from a prioritizing sort of stand. And the Eagles seemingly have figured out the formula they feel comfortable with. In these last few drafts, I just go with the since 21. When they selected Devontae in the first round, and I think they got Landon Dickerson in the second round. They really have been on a nice little streak with their first few rounds in the draft. What do you think that says about Howie and his staff and where they sort of develop from an evaluation standpoint?
Well, I think it's more than Howie. I think, Nick, I think there's just good stability within the organization.
Okay.
I don't think anybody feels really threatened, although I think, you know, they're very, very hungry to maintain their posture as a top elite team in this league. And they know that drafting well is probably the biggest part of that. Drafting and developing, they changed a lot of coaches last year, a lot of position coaches that made a difference. So I think, you know, they didn't get it right the year before. And they made some mistakes when Doug was here. So, you know, I feel like they have kept they keep working at it and striving to be better. The one thing, I mean, just knowing guys that have worked for Howie and have gone on to other places now, I mean, Howie wears these guys out. I'm going to be here now. I mean, it's not fun over there. But to Howie's credit, like, some of that stuff really pays off. Some of those, well, what if this happens in this scenario? And what if this trade, you know, takes place? And what if this guy is available when we're at 32 and he's there at 27? Do we trade? Like, all of the different draft scenarios that Howie goes through with the guys, like, it does wear him out, but it does pay off. Yeah. And so, I mean, you can't outwork that guy right now, and that's a credit to him.
Yeah.
Baldy, looking at this draft, is there a position or two you think it's particularly deep in?
Yeah. I think it's deep at tight end. I think it's really deep at defensive line. I don't care if it's, you know, defensive tackle or defensive ends or edge rushers. I think it's really good. And then it's a really deep draft at running back. So I think those three positions really stand out to me.
If you're the Eagles, you know, you're sitting there at 32. At how do you balance best player on the board versus what you need for your team this year?
You can't really go wrong. I mean, if you just go with the best player, like, they've got all the positions filled right now, Spike. Like, they don't have a glaring need. So, I mean, some teams clearly do. If you're the New England Patriots, you've got glaring needs. If you're Carolina, you've got glaring needs. I don't think the Eagles have a glaring need. They have made that mistake before and tried to do that, and there's no point to go and revisiting it.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if you stay there and you take the best player available, because I don't think there's going to be a lot of trades in this draft. There's just not enough star power quarterbacks in this draft. There's not enough star power in this draft. But it's a deep draft. And so, I mean, there's probably going to be 8 to 10 defensive linemen taken in the first round. Now, if somebody drops, because who knows, character issues or off-the-field stuff or attitude, whatever it might be, but the talent is there. I mean, that's kind of like that's kind of like what happened to Jalen, you know? And so,
yeah.
Like a Carter, that is. So, yep. I mean, yep. There's a couple guys in this draft that people are a little bit queasy about, let's say. And so, you know, I don't think they have a lot of fear with Lane, you know, with when you have Lane and you have Jalen and you have some of the Zach Bond, you have some of the leaders in that locker room. I don't think there's a lot of fear about bringing a guy in that might have had some issues before about how to conduct yourself.
Well, and any gut tell you, I mean, 32 is weird because you don't know who's going to be there, but is there a player or two you think could be sitting there that you think the Eagles would be interested in?
Yeah, I mean, like if Mike Green was somehow available for Marshall, anywhere, like say after 26, because I think the Eagles would go up and get an elite player like that, an elite talent. It's a position of need. They have been weakened, especially with Bryce Huff's like inability to really play within the scheme. So they've got some young guys there, Jalen Hunt and Nolan, but, you know, position of an edge rusher like him or, you know, a local kid, you know, from Boston College, Ezeraki, like Ezeraku, I think he could be, you know, a guy that they would be very, very interested in. You know, James Pierce from Tennessee, who people have some real question marks about with some issues, but the talent at 4'4", 7", and 6'5", 250 pounds, and some good production at Tennessee, like, he was hanging around there. Like, I don't think they'd wait very long to bring his name up there.
All right, Baldy, we appreciate it. Should be mm-hmm. It's an interesting draft lead up for the Eagles after winning the Super Bowl. Like normally, when we don't, we all focus in on one or two guys and we make ourselves crazy thinking about whether they're going to get them. And the Eagles this year sitting where they sit with a lot of quantity for picks, but nothing real high. And as you mentioned, not a pick where you think you're going to address one specific need. It's interesting for them. We appreciate your time, man.
Yep, my pleasure, guys. You bet. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, Baldy.
Yep.
All right,
there he is, Brian Baldinger, Odyssey NFL Insider, host of the Best Football Show podcast, where you can get in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. A point for Elliott in Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings today, as he reports first, I believe, that the Eagles brought in Malachi Starks as one of their 30 interviews. He was at the NovaCare facility for them to talk to.
Big scoop.
That's a real scoop.
That's a real scoop. I'm not giving him the guy that got Stoutland's coffee.
Are you enough with that guy? Give that guy a break. He's got a real job. What if somebody referred to you as the guy that gets Ike Reese's coffee?
Well, they probably do. But yeah, we hired Justin to get my coffee. So that's basically what
the coffee totem pole.
Stoned.
Wow, the coffee totem pole.
Yep.
Don't stand for that, Justin.
No, well, he can't stand that tall anyway.
Wow.
Roast him again. No one knows who he is, but we keep roasting him.
So we're doing
inside
jokes
only.
We're doing top 30 visits as inside information.
That's a big scoop.
It's a scoop. He's a guy we've talked about a lot.
It's a scoop. It's not a big scoop.
It's a scoop.
They're bringing in 30 guys.
Yes, and he had it first. You got to give him credit.
No, what I'm saying, I don't mind giving him credit. I'm just saying they're bringing in 30 guys. I could name you the 30 guys I would imagine they're probably bringing in. Let me see, all Georgia guys. Right? So if I just name the guys right now that are probably going to come in for a 30 visit, right? Should I get inside Eagles Insider?
Well,
I should get a point for that, right?
If you report one of them is here, yeah.
Check their Instagram feed.
Yeah.
No, but like, listen, for little Elliot, this is a big step. He's starting to get real.
He's starting to be a real grown-up reporter. 215-592-9494. Aaron in Mount Airy, you're on WIP. What's up, Aaron?
Oh, what's up, fellas?
What's up, babe? What is going on with the phone today?
Yeah, you hear me?
Do you hear me?
Yes.
Are you doing a bit, or can you just do the show?
No, you got. Hey, because I can hear y'all. How can y'all hear me?
All right. We do hear you.
He hung up and called back, and now he's not doing a bit, which I thought he was doing a bit.
I'm putting him on hold. If he can't hear us, by the way, if he can't hear us, how does he know that we're saying we can
hear
him?
That's what I keep saying. That's what I'm saying.
I'm out.
He knows too much.
Maybe the phone will work better tomorrow.
All right. 215-592-9494. Dominic in Westchester. You're on WIP.
Hey,
can
guys,
you hear
how
us?
How you doing?
What's up,
yeah,
Dominic?
Yeah, I could hear you guys.
All right. All right,
good
thanks.
To hear from you guys. Sorry, long time no talk. I'm busy at the job.
Oh, it's all
right. But real quick, first thing, I was watching the Masters yesterday at like the Westgate Pub, and I always found it like a little interesting when people were like rooting for the guys, like when they were like watching NASCAR or whatever, and they're like really rooting for the guy. It seemed like it just went a little bit further than monetary value, but anyways, I have a big, quick Phillies point.
Well,
here today.
I think with my perspective, I agree with you, Dominic. I don't care about any of these golfers, but I think the story with Rory McIlroy and that he this is like the mountain that he hasn't been able to climb, and
he's
failed
a
bunch
favorite.
Of times, and then with him basically trying to choke it away and then winning at the end. I think the story of all of it, the narrative of all of it, was interesting to
the
people.
The narrative.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the shot on the 16th hole was amazing around the tree.
Yes, sir.
There you go.
But anyways, around back to my Phillies point, they are still very infuriating. If you remember last year, I declared them dead, and it is April 14th, and I am declaring the Phillies dead.
Oh, come on.
If they keep putting out – no, listen. If they keep putting out this platoon with Brandon Marsh and Johan Rojas, I see these same guys coming up. There was nothing more infuriating with guys on second and third in the fifth inning. Marsh strikes out, and then they have to bunt. That's how we're going to get a runner in, is our best option is to bunt. But don't worry. Don't worry. Weston Wilson is taking some bats down in Clearwater or whatever.
Oh.
So we'll be good. We have him coming up.
You know what? I can't take Bryce is out there hitting 250. Trey's hitting 240. And we're worried about Brandon Marsh, the eighth hitter, and Johan Rojas, the ninth hitter. Like, if you want to be critical
and
of
Alec Bohm, the seventh hitter.
Well, should be the third hitter. If we're going to... I just can't. I understand the frustration with those guys, and we've wanted what Johan Rojas can hit. Whatever.
Well, yeah, we know.
And Brandon Marsh at this point, we should have them talking about him being an everyday player before this year. That is, what's the word? Bewildering, I think. Mm-hmm. But the real issue over the last few games is not those guys. It's the big guys, and that's why I don't think you can declare them dead, because I guess I just don't have any doubt that Bryce is going to hit. I don't have any doubt that Trey's going to hit. I don't have any doubt that Zach Wheeler is not going to go in there and allow four runs or five runs in six innings. I just think those things are going to normalize. And then all of a sudden, the fact that Brandon Marsh can't hit or Johan Rojas can't hit is going to be a lot less of an issue, you know?
Yeah, so then my question for you right now is, is this their window to win, or is it in the future?
I think it's both.
Okay, well, here's my theory.
Yeah.
Is that a lot of these players that we have in the system, I would say, if we had to put a number on it, Jackie Baseball, 85% of them just become guys, right? They're not, very rarely do you get
special players,
all that stuff. Yeah. So is it that crazy to get rid of Painter and bring in someone that's going to help you get over the hump this year? Because realistically, Painter comes in July, right? I know he's better than... We're projected to be better than all these people in the lineup, right? I know he's better than Taiwan and Ranger or whatever. But if you can get a nice bat, I mean, Max Kepler was your biggest addition this season, and he's not doing jack squat. They're not moving Harper back to the outfield anytime soon. So if you can get rid of him and, 85% of the time they just become a regular guy, why would you not take the risk to go get a big bat?
I don't think you can look at Painter and say he's just going to be a guy. I mean, like, even when you look around baseball, they look at that guy as a future number one starter.
I got to see him just be a guy.
Yeah.
And not on somebody else's team.
When you look at Wheeler's 34, Nola's 32, Ranger's not going to be on the team. Like, if you have a number
him
one
and Sanchez
starter.
Are going to be your two best pitchers in 3 years here.
If you're going to trade him for a big bat, that's got to be a big bat that's 25 years old, that is under, team control for the next 4 years. I would listen to it. Now, I don't think Jack and Ike would want to. I would listen, but I'm not doing it for a one-year rental for a guy that helps them win this year and this year only.
I just get worried that you see pitchers like DeGrom and other pitchers that have Tommy John surgery. It usually happens again. So it's like, are you kind of going down the same path with him? And he's only, what, 21, 22?
Yeah, but so many pitchers have had Tommy John. It's not just some pitchers are having Tommy John.
It's almost a normal surgery now.
They do it almost preemptively because they know they're going to need it at some point. And I think they can even come back stronger. So Tommy John is not the death sentence. DeGrom is an example of a guy who is consistently injured. But there's plenty of guys who have had Tommy John and then had pretty successful careers afterwards.
I guess my point is that it's just like everyone's saying, we're running back the same team. I would like to see some sort of shakeup.
The other problem is I don't know what bats even really available to trade for.
You guys, and you got to, was it what we doing there?
Chick flick.
You got Chick flick for Dominic?
Yeah. It's crazy, stupid love.
A crazy stupid love. I love.
I don't like it that much.
That's one Michael Scott.
Never heard of
him. Ryan Gosling in Crazy Stupid Love.
A lot of hype didn't live up to the hype.
I thought that movie was funny.
And I'll throw this out there before we get sidetracked on that. Seriously.
Yeah.
Abort mission.
There it is.
Stop it with stop it with the looking at pitches. There's no way you can tell me. And I understand we all thought this would be a great idea. They don't look like the same baseball team that we've watched the last 3 years. All I know is they scored runs. They hit home runs. They're not doing any of that now.
Dude, they went through plenty of droughts last year.
I'm just saying this idea that this somehow is going to lead to more runs, better hitters. I think it's all in their head. And who knows how long it's going to take for them to climb out of this. We've asked these players, and God bless them. They tried. Jack was tracking it in spring training. He said the chase rate was down there. They were seeing more pitches. Forgot the numbers we put out there earlier last week when they were the number one team in baseball with all this stuff. But I'm asking you, I understand the results. Forget about the results from a win-loss standard. I'm asking you about watching them play. They don't seem to hit the ball hard an awful lot. They damn sure not hitting a bunch of home runs. They got 14 total home runs already. 14!
I'm letting them figure this part out.
14! I don't want to watch a baseball team that hits the ball around the ballpark. And we've been watching this baseball team for the last 20 years have guys that slug. That's what they do. Right?
What? Some guys.
Here's what I'll tell you. Since I've been here at WIP, the whole small ball talk has been here since I've been here. They clearly haven't been a small ball hitting club.
I just don't think they have. If they're going to be a home run hitting club, they don't have enough home run hitters to be a home run hitting club. I think Trey Turner is going to be a better hitter for this. I think Nick Castellanos is going to be a better hitter for this.
How many home runs do you want Trey Turner to hit?
I don't know, 20, 18, something like that.
He's going to hit 18. Bohm's going to hit 10. Well, Harper's going to hit 25.
Right, so I don't
know. Cassie's going to hit. So what do we think? What do we think? We think we're going to bat and average our way all the way to the World Series?
No, I think.
Is that what we're going to do? We're going to be all on bat close to 300 this year?
I think this is going to give them a better shot in the playoffs when they're not as hot as they think they were, understanding that they
can
do this.
What about if they don't get in the playoffs?
They'll get in the playoffs. Yeah, I can't believe you're aborting after 15 games, 9 of which they won.
How good they look in those 9 wins?
Pretty good in some of them.
About 3 of them.
No, I think you're being crazy. I think,
three?
I can't believe you're aborting mission now. Man, this is the craziest thing I think you've ever heard
this
you say.
This approach at the plate, get them back to doing what they've been doing. Here's what I'm saying. You know why I'm also saying this?
Because you don't want to watch them this way.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
I knew it.
This ain't the baseball team I want to watch play.
I knew that's what it was
exactly
about.
It. And I can't wait till it comes out of the clubhouse. Sooner or later, the players are going to feel that way too.
I don't think that's impossible.
Sooner or later, they're going to be saying the same thing. Like, this ain't working.
215-592-9494.
Abort mission.
Do not. 15 games.
Abort the mission,
the
Topper.
High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report is next. Oh, my God. Speaking of performance, hitting home runs.
We're not going anywhere.
Is Blue Chew, is that for home run
Sorry
hitters?
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
That's a home run hitter.
Home run hitters?
Yeah. I mean, listen, you can't. Never mind.
What?
Well, I'm saying, in order to hit home runs, in the bedroom, you got to make sure it's all working down there.
You got to make sure you don't have a floppy bat.
Yeah. Wow.
Soft bat?
Yeah.
Little singles?
Let me get in here somewhere.
Well, I didn't know. Yeah.
I can't even. I'm trying to see where I can fit in.
How's your bat?
You can see, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
What I was going to bring up was that nobody wants to be a singles hitter.
Well, not in the bedroom.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Blue Chew. Go to bluechew.com. Use code 94. Thanks to the WIP Afternoon Show. Your first month is free. We're paying for it. Use code 94 at checkout. You're not going to be a singles hitter. Nah. You're going to chew up one of those Blue Chews. Mm-hmm. You're going to be a home run hitter.
Yep.
And we know chicks dig the long ball.
That's right.
Absolutely. And you don't have to go to the doctor. I mean, this is, of course, it is a pharmaceutical, so it has the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, Levitra, and Staxin, but they're going to get you out of that trip to the doctors by just meeting with one of their medical providers online. Mm-hmm. So no trip to the doctor's office, no wait to the trip to the doctor's office, no standing in line at the pharmacy. No.
No embarrassment.
And it's all made here in the USA, so it's cheaper.
Yes.
Delivered immediately to your mailbox in a
discreet
hard
package. BlueChew.com, use code 94. You get the first month free. Just pay for the shipping. Use code, as I said, 94. And then you can...
chew it and do it.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Your radio, 94.1. The free Odyssey app, also streaming live on YouTube if you'd like to watch. You like watching, do you? The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. For the best selection of diamonds to fit every budget, visit the home team at Mark's. Experience the difference at marks-jewelers.com. Question, what is your worry level with the Phillies? Very worried at 21.7%, not worried 29.1%, and starting to worry at 49.2%. I'm never worried with our guy Jackie Baseball over here, though.
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. Kev Jackie Baseball.
That was a lie.
That's a total lie. Yeah, absolutely. I know you didn't set it up, but we don't lie to the listeners.
Liar.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
So, first off, welcome back to the booth tonight, Mr. Larry Anderson.
Yeah.
LA. Yes, sir.
Good to have LA.
There it is. Now things will turn around.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Positivity. He'll spark the boys for sure.
We'll definitely bring the positive energy.
He holds everybody accountable.
He does.
That's what he does.
He does.
No one better.
Throw the fastball low and outside. That is my recommendation to Taiwan and every other pitcher who pitches for the next little while.
And these umpires stink.
Yes, they stink.
So speaking of, we'll get to some important stuff first, but we got to get the important stuff, I guess, for this show out of the way in the beginning here. And that is the dirty things that the radio booth and also the TV booth said this weekend during the games.
Dirty things.
Yeah, we're always monitoring these for potential drops. Kevin Stocker, who is climbing up the list of the dirtiest broadcasters in the city. He had this to say.
Out of pocket Stocker.
Here he is.
A lot of times with two strikes, Liberatore will try to come inside hard. That's the one area. He's pretty good, right?
But wow. Come on, man.
You don't want to come inside hard.
No. Come on.
Be careful with that pitch.
Yeah. Exactly right.
Yeah.
And a guy who I never thought we'd have to add to the list of the dirtiest broadcasters in the city, our good pal Ben Davis, who, you know, he's talking about how you sometimes have to go out to the mound and you have to calm the pitcher down or maybe waste some time for a guy to warm up in the bullpen. He dropped this gem on us.
Other guys, you had to go out there and be careful. You didn't want to hurt your feelings.
Right.
Guys like to be stroked, and it's, you know.
Wait a minute. Did I hear T-Mac giggle there?
I heard a T-Mac giggle, too.
Play that again.
Yeah.
Other guys, you had to go out there and be careful. You didn't want to hurt your feelings.
Right.
Guys like to be stroked, and it's, you know.
Oh, yes. T-Mac definitely. He definitely laughed.
Little
D Mac knew. As soon as you said it.
Well, then they stopped talking to like for 10 seconds. Yeah. They both turned their mics off and started laughing.
Yeah,
yes, there's no doubt.
Guys like to be stroked, huh? Ben?
Like, huh?
Huh, Ben?
Other guys, you had to go out there and be careful. You didn't want to hurt your feelings.
Right.
Guys like to be stroked and you know.
That might have been Ben. That might have been Ben laughing at himself.
I know, because he's probably thinking about the drop board.
Yes, yeah. There's no doubt it was. Everybody on the way to the ballpark listens to this damn show.
I know they do.
I'm sure they know the drop board is a spot you don't want to find yourself in.
Yeah, I would say that's fair. And you know, he's thinking to himself, like, oh, I'd never do it. Rube did, you know?
Hardest wood I had ever touched.
Yeah,
but he did.
Poor Rube.
He did.
That's guys like to be stroked.
Yep, there it is.
And a drop was built.
Yep, I love it.
It's good stuff. So, Ken Rosenthal reported over the weekend the Phillies offered Kyle Schwarber an extension during the offseason.
Okay.
But after an initial proposal, talks have failed to advance.
Oh, well.
So they did make him an offer.
Not, oh, well. Would you shut up?
Do we know what the... No, there's no numbers out there, obviously.
No. No.
Okay. Well, I thought he said years. They had offered him 2 years or something.
Oh, 2 years?
I thought...
Oh, that's not going to get it done.
I thought that was in... Well, or was he comparing it to a different contract, maybe?
So he's comparing it to Teoscar Hernandez, so it was a 3-year deal.
Okay.
And he hypothesized that maybe the Phillies weren't willing to do the third year.
Okay.
Wow, really? I'm sitting here worried about a fourth year. They don't even want to do three?
They can't... You can't continue to... First of all, again... If he has a great year, you can just sign him at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like this whole thing where we have the same conversation where we keep saying that the team, oh, they brought back the same team. Oh, you can't bring back the same team. Oh, the same team. They didn't get it done. Let's make sure we lock all the guys in.
Yeah, but not all the guys. Schwarber's different than that. Like, he's important to this team.
I agree.
Sign him at the end of the year.
Okay,
just make sure he's back. I like whatever.
Yeah,
you
want to
sign at the end of the year, whatever.
I'm just like
he's not the issue. There's other issues on the team.
Not the issue, but every guy that you again, I want them to keep him. But every guy that you sign might prevent you from fixing a different issue somewhere else. So that's all I'm saying is they had the reason this offseason was, hey, let's take a chance on this guy. Hey, let's take a chance on that guy. Hey, let's take a chance on this guy. Instead of getting a guy who we all felt confident in is because their salary level was at a point where they had no room to move or make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to go into another offseason where they don't have any room to make decisions.
That's fine.
Yeah.
The years. You giving him three?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We got to give him 3 years.
Sure.
At least. I was worried about four. Hey, talking about two?
Yeah, look, if they're stuck on two versus three, give them the
three. Yeah, are you kidding me?
Well, let them negotiate.
Well, here's the other thing. Who are they paying anytime soon? There's no way Boehm, unless he rebounds, he's not getting any type of long-term deal. Stott's not getting any type of long-term deal.
The way Marsh is trending, probably not Marsh.
Marsh ain't getting along. So who are they paying? They've already paid all their top guys.
But the Rangers probably leaving.
The only
Rangers, Rangers leaving.
Aside from, but they already have a $300 million payroll.
Oh, no, I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah, and the only guy that's leaving, aside from Schwarber, we assume, is JT.
Sure.
And that's $20 million off
25.
Of 25. There
and by
you
the way, it's not, but the thing with the Schwarber contract, it's not in comparison, it's not that much money.
Like I agree.
Like they're paying a shortstop $300+ million. They're paying Bryce $330. This is $365 maybe. Like 3 years, $65, not $365.
Right. Yeah,
like in comparison's sake, it's not that much money for your second best offensive player.
And you're going to need him moving forward.
Unless you're getting Kyle Tucker, but I don't think they're getting Kyle Tucker. That's another.
And how much is that going to cost you?
$500 million.
Well, Flag got $500.
Yeah.
Now he might get four something. Regardless, it's still over $400 million at a minimum.
Yeah.
So I would rather sign. Just make sure Schwarber's here. That's all I care about. Now, the situation that's developing is the Brandon Marsh situation. So he is out of the lineup tonight.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
No Marshy. I got some comments from Rob Thompson on that. But Marsh after the game, like he's obviously a high motor guy, more of an upbeat type. He sounded pretty defeated after the game. Here's Marsh talking about his struggles yesterday.
It's been a rough start to the season for sure. But, you know, we just got to keep our head down and you know, try to win as many ball games as we can. I know I'm not doing my part, which stinks the worst. You know, I just feel like I'm letting my guys down, and I need to be better for them.
Yesterday, laid down the bunt, drew a walk. You kind of in the mode right now, just like trying to do whatever it takes to, you know, have like a productive at bat, a day, etc.
Most definitely. You know, like I said, just going through it right now, and. I gotta do anything I can to help this ball club win, and right now I'm not doing that. So I gotta figure some things out.
That sounds like a guy who's pressing to me. You know, yeah.
We're going to need standing ovations for everybody at the bottom of the lineup.
I wouldn't mind.
Been a lot of whispers.
I wouldn't mind a Marsh standing ovation.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, we might as well do it for the whole inning.
Right. The third inning?
Of them, yeah.
We'll do it in the bottom of the third.
Who needs it more, him or Boehm? I mean, that sounds like it's Twitter.
I don't know.
Boehm doesn't deserve it.
Yeah. Well, that's very nice of you. Yeah. Again, once again, you're like a dog on a Boehm.
Dog with the Boehm in his mouth.
Yeah, dog on a Boehm.
Yep. So Rob Thompson sat Brandon Marsh tonight, and it sounds like it might be an extended stay on the old bench for Brandon Marsh. Here's Rob Thompson earlier today.
Just to give him a blow, mental, physical blow. You know, he's thinking about it quite a bit right now, and everybody goes through it at some point. I just thought that maybe give him a day or two off and just let him watch for a minute.
So probably 2 days at least.
Yeah, but then we got Ray.
Yeah,
so it might be three. Okay. Yeah, we'll see how tonight goes.
Okay. What, you know, what's the difference between? Well, sometimes you just keep playing guys. Say, I think that they can hit their way out of it. Sometimes you give a guy. What's the difference there in your mind?
I just read the emotional state of the player, and I think he's really thinking about it, and he really feels like he's letting his teammates down. He's putting a lot of pressure on himself to do well. And when you get to that point, I think it's time just to relax for a minute.
I think it's a good move. I think he could use it, you know.
Yeah.
He sounds like he's in a, like, personality-wise, he's a different guy than Boehm is. Than Marsh seems like a different sort of personality than Boehm is.
I just have this feeling.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, it's just not
Boehm
the same
has
kind of
the guy. Sort of, I was a high draft pick, first rounder, entitled, sort of. And Marsh is he's a scrapper. He's fighting to stay up in the major leagues.
Yeah, right. And he's a positive vibes guy.
Yeah.
PVOs.
But I tell you what would help out. If the star players start playing like star players.
Totally
100%.
Now, I will say, I look at those two, and I think Stott's done a pretty good job with the increased pressure. You know, I don't see him kind of crumbling. Like, those two, Boehm and Marsh, look like they're not handling the increase in intensity is probably the wrong word, but urgency in the clubhouse.
I agree with you.
So,
and you wonder, even if they come back in this case, if there's going to be more high-leverage situations in the playoffs and later in the season. And, like, can you depend on those guys when things go wrong if they're not handling? Now, look, they could learn from this and become better from it. But I think you have to wonder at some point. They're not 23 years old anymore, you know, if this is partially who they are.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, my frustration and final thing here is, like, we talked about how if you're not going to change the core, if you're not going to change the manager, like, what are you going to change? I thought it was lazy to bring back Kevin Long again. I mean, we're going. I know you can't blame everything on the hitting coach,
but assistant coaches always take the blame.
I mean, look at Milt Thompson in 2011.
Yes, you know, exactly.
Kevin Long's getting fired this year.
He's the first. He's the first domino to fall if this thing doesn't. If they don't turn it around offensively,
I would guess he doesn't make it to the end of the year. Then somebody's got to be itching to do something. And if it's not now, maybe it's in 2 months from now. But somebody's going to be somebody's going to itch to do something.
Yeah, well, because my thing with Kevin Long is like, I think Caleb Kotham is a very, very good pitching coach. They need to find the Caleb Kotham version of that for the hitting side. Like, I think Kevin Long might just be a dinosaur from the standpoint of he's been around for a while. You know, the game that he grew up coaching in was fastball dependent, and now we know that the sport's trending towards sweepers and breaking pitches.
He just doesn't have the answer.
He might just not have the answers anymore.
Yeah.
And I thought, when you have to leave every stone unturned or whatever to try to win a championship, to bring it back with him and see where they are again is frustrating.
Them bringing the entire coaching staff back was maddening.
Besides God.
Yeah. Besides Kath. I'm just saying they didn't make any change. I'm saying they brought the entire coaching staff back, and they didn't make any change. You know, one thing that won't be maddening is Guida throwing window. I'm going over to Guida tomorrow morning with my wife, pick out some windows and doors. Go. Seems like the window picking out will be easy. The door, you know, give me the clear one. But the doors, that's a little more interesting. You know, when you replace your windows and doors with Gaida, you're doing a few things that are great for your house. First of all, you're keeping the hot air out during the summer. You're keeping the cold air out during the winter. So your energy bills are going down. That's going to save you money. The value of your home is going to go up. That'll make you money. You'll be more comfortable and feel better about it. That is, you can't even put a price on that. And Gaida's got interest-free financing options to make it all easier on you right now. Zero down, 0% interest, up to 36 months or 72 months, depending on the size of your job. That is 6 years, no interest, no money down. I love it. Not to mention, Gaida is going to hook you up on the price, 20% off every window, 20% off every door. There are restrictions. There's a minimum purchase, and the financing is subject to credit approval. Here's what I want you to do. Call 877-GO-GAIDA, like I did. Schedule a free in-home estimate. I got the free in-home estimate. And then you can get all the details that way. Or just go to goguida.com. That's goguida.com. Do I have to go to this first one here?
Yeah, okay. You do. Yep.
Jim and Delco, you're on WIP.
Hey, yeah, Spike. I a couple callers before, he said the guy called up and said he wanted a trade for somebody that could make him win this year.
Yes.
And you were like, "Oh no, we don't want to do that." Well, what do you think the Phillies are going to do? Win 5 years in a row because they get somebody else? Like, isn't it about like just winning this year and not worrying about next year?
You're not going to say that in 3 years. You're not, but yes, you do. Yeah, Jim, you do. Because what happens is, and this is what happened in 07 through 11, is nobody was minding the store and they were going all in for that and they didn't keep anybody. And we had 13 years of meaningless baseball, or 10 years of meaningless baseball around here because nobody thought about the future. Yes, you don't think they're trying to win this year? They have a $300 million payroll. They have the third biggest payroll in all of baseball. And you want to trade their best prospect, Andrew Painter, who is one of the best pitching prospects in baseball. For who? Tell me for who? Jim, for who? Who?
For what?
Who? Who are you trading him for, Jim? Who?
What?
Who are you trading him for? Who?
I don't.
Who?
Oh, don't act like that to me.
Who
please.
Are you trading him for?
Just get some.
Who?
That's
get Give
someone.
Me one name. Give me one name. One. In all of Major League Baseball, 26 players on a team, 30. Give me one player, one hitter you're going to trade him for. One.
Six callers ago.
One.
The guy named somebody.
Oh, well, that sounds like a great idea. What was his name?
You know what? You sound like your dad.
Oh, because you don't have an answer. You're so busy. Who's the guy you want him to trade? Guy you want him to trade, Jim?
Yo, dude.
What's the name of the guy you want him to trade? What is the name of the guy you want him to? You want them to trade. That's all I'm asking. You want them to trade him for a good player. So all I'm asking is the name of the guy you want to trade for the name of the guy you want to trade for. Two names.
So you go and get the team that you can win this year with.
Jim, final thing. Who is the player they are going to get this year when they trade the player you don't even know that is going to make them win this year? Give me one name.
You're the expert.
One name.
You're the expert.
One name.
You tell me.
You don't know what you're talking about. That's the problem, Jim. That's the problem. The biggest issue here is not me. It is you. Who do you want them to trade? How about this? I'll give you the entire Phillies farm system. You tell me one player in the farm system you want them to trade. One.
I don't care who they...
There we go. Is that what you wanted, Jack?
Yeah.
You happy now?
That was nice.
I'd be fine with them trading Andrew Painter. You get me a 25-year-old cost-controlled right-handed slugger?
Oh, you get a Cunha?
Do it.
By the way, confirmed.
Yeah.
Ben knew what he was doing.
Oh, did he?
Yep, yeah. Told you.
Oh.
Well, I don't think he knew what he was doing,
but he knew what he did.
He smiled. Knew what happened,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Guys like to be stroked.
He called himself.
He did.
Yep.
Yeah, he also wants to make sure Topper's held accountable as well.
Just to give him a blow.
All right. You're out of control now.
You didn't see this coming from earlier today?
Well, it started at 3:30, actually.
I saw this coming in a 3 o'clock hour.
It goes, the evolution of the afternoon show is, man, 5:30 to 6 is out of control. Yeah. Then about 2 months, he goes like, wow, 4:30 to 6, yeah. It really unravels. Now it's 3:30.
Yeah, well, because he can't stop himself.
No, why would I do that?
We haven't heard the jolly one, and I thought we were going to hear that when we talked about Maury.
I'm just letting everyone, it's not today's top five. It's tomorrow's top five. It's all jolly related.
Again?
Oh, okay. Again, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
We just had a jolly related one like 2 weeks ago. All right. What's the top five today?
Oh, man. You guys watch Party People? Like, do you ever watch sports with a group of people?
Oh, no, never.
Yeah.
What? Sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
If I have to.
We've all done it. We're all sports fans. I had to do it yesterday, and it got me thinking about the people that are every watch party.
Oh, okay.
I thought your replies wasn't back as fast as they normally are.
Oh, with me?
You and I were on a little bit of a delayed text yesterday.
Yeah, we were.
He needed you yesterday. I can tell by this conversation. He was like, where's Jack?
Yeah, Roy was, choking. Melting down. Yeah.
Well, because, again, I had my phone while I was watching the Phillies on.
Well, the Phillies, yeah, that was ridiculous.
Well, I was at a family party with 90-plus people, Easter egg hunting, and I was,
90 people?
It was a little too much.
How many families?
A lot.
For Christ's sake. 90 people?
Yeah, it was packed.
Oh, my God.
Man. That's a serious Easter egg hunt.
Yes.
Walker still doesn't really seem to get the concept, but one of these years, he's only two. We work with him.
All right. The top five at five is next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.